right, we're back. Some Peter Gunn music and Andy Friendly, author of Willing to Be Lucky, Adventures in Life and Television. You got to get this, folks. Forward is by Tracy Ullman. It's a wonderful book. A lot of great, if you like TV and entertainment and news, plenty of great anecdotes and stories there. And of course, you've had a legendary life. You know, when I come back, I want to be Andy Friendly.
Oh, please.
You've had
I want to be Joe Vick.
You've had a great life, my God.
So have you.
Yeah, in the book, folks, he's worked with, well, you just heard the Richard Pryor story, but Tom Snyder, Jimmy Cagney, Clint Eastwood, Tim Russert, Dan Rather, Howard Stern, David Letterman, Billy Crystal, Johnny Carson, and Elton John, George Clooney. I mean, that's just the short list. Vince Scully, presidents, I mean, unbelievable, Andy, unbelievable.
A lucky life.
Yeah.
Willing to be lucky, as my dad taught me, which was a great E.B. White quote, author.
And I'm lucky to be willing, and I'm lucky to be talking to you. So
I feel the same about you.
Thank you. Let's give some kudos to your wonderful family. I know you're married to legendary actress Pat Crowley. Why don't you talk about Pat a little bit here?
Well, that has been the true blessing of my life, Joe, is that I get to meet and work with and then marry the most wonderful woman and talented woman who has an interesting story, much more interesting than mine. She got halfway through her memoir and put it away, and I'm trying to get her to finish it. But she starred in Please Don't Eat the Daisies on NBC, and she did the original Twilight Zone with Burgess Meredith, and the one they repeat every year at their marathon, and she was on all the spelling shows as a regular on Dynasty and Charlie's Angels, and did movies with William Holden, her first film at 16. She was signed to Paramount and did a bunch of movies with people like William Holden, and written by the film called Forever Female, which was written by the Epstein brothers who wrote Casablanca, and she worked with Martin and Lewis on three of their road films, Money from Home and Hollywood or Bust, then got into television, did Broadway, worked with Helen Hayes, with all the greats, Fred Astaire, and more importantly than all her credit, and then went on for seven decades and did Frasier and Friends and every show you can think of, Police Story. Very talented lady, but she, for me, was a blessing because I met her at a time in my life, in my mid-20s, when I was kind of just an immature dope. It was the 70s and in the early 80s, and I was kind of the cliched L.A. kind of party animal and
without a
really
compass.
A jerk,
no
especially
compass.
When it came to my relationships with lovely, smart women who were much better than the likes of me deserved, but I didn't handle those situations very well. And it was, I hate to say this because it sounds like a cop-out, but it was a different time, and I was young, and it's complicated. I write about it in the book a lot. But Pat really straightened me out, and she was kind of my teen idol growing up. I watched her on all those shows. She's a little bit older than me, which was controversial, but our family and friends understood that I had fallen in love with this wonderful woman, and she really straightened out my life and taught me the meaning of love and family and provided me all of that. So I have her to thank pretty much for everything.
Well, love is important, and boy, a life without love is really, you should try to get a do-over.
Not worth living. Yeah. And her story, just for 30 seconds, is a great American story because she grew up with a father who worked in the coal mines in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Oliphant, and who went down to the mines every morning at 4 a.m. And her mom and her sister had the courage to get out of there. Her older sister won a singing contest at age 7, and her mom was brave enough to get her out of there, take her to New York, and pursue a career. And Anne, her older sister, ended up on Broadway, starring in major Broadway productions. And a couple of years later, they were able to save enough money to send for Pat and her dad. Pat, at 9 years old, was cooking and cleaning and running the house for her dad in the coal mines. And it's a great American story. She got a couple of minor parts in these Broadway productions that her sister got her into, thankfully, and gave her a leg up. And a Hollywood, a Paramount talent scout spotted her at age 16, signed her to a 3-year deal, and a year later she was starring with William Holden in Forever Female, and went on for 7 decades. So it's a great American story, the true hero of which is her mom, Helen.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you have to, all the talent in the world, but you still have to be lucky and meet the right people at the right time and be ready and willing.
Willing to be lucky,
yeah, exactly.
We keep coming back to that. Teach our kids that.
Don't we, though? You know, I was a part of your book, To Get Serious for a Moment, and I know you're on the board of the USC Shoah Foundation. And past president, by the way. How long have you been involved with that organization?
Well, no, actually, I'm not. I wasn't a past president of that. I only joined the board of counselors of that a couple of years ago. I was past president of the LA Free Clinic, now the Saban Free Clinic.
That's
I'm
right.
still on that board.
I'm sorry, you're on the board of counselors for you.
It's hard to keep track, but yeah, I'm on several boards.
Yeah.
But that's that one and the Free Clinic and the HRTS board where I was past president.
Yeah,
still on that one too. But the Hollywood Radio Television Society. Mm-hmm. But Shoah Foundation is a special meaning to me because of my family's history and my dad's letter that he wrote to his mother from the Mauthausen concentration camp when he wrote about the liberation of that camp in the spring of 1945, which is chapter 3 or 4 in the book.
He was a reporter in the military, right? So
He was a reporter in the CBI roundup, which is the Burma China theater. And later in the war, he switched places with a reporter from the Stars and Stripes who was covering the European theater named Andy Rooney, who, of course, went on to be the 60 Minutes correspondent essayist for many years and became close friends with my dad. But Dad, in that switch, went over to Germany and Austria and witnessed the liberation of the concentration camps and wrote a very moving letter to his mother, my grandmother, Therese, and I include that in the book. It's something that my whole family reads and shares at the Jewish holidays. It's a very important letter. I think your listeners would find very moving.
Page 29.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, when I was asked by my close friend David Zaslav, who is the CEO of Discovery and who built CNBC with little help from me and others, who joined the board of counselors and is close friends with Mr. Spielberg, who started the Shoah Foundation when he was, after he made Schindler's List, he had interviewed some of the people who came around the location of the shooting in Poland in 1993, and he was so moved by their words that he asked if he could record them. And now, all these years later, 25 years later, he has 53,000 video testimonies of survivors, not just of the Holocaust, but of genocides around the world, from Nanjing in China to Guatemala to the Armenian genocide. So the purpose and role and function, the mission of the foundation is to teach tolerance and prevent future genocide.
Yeah.
So the work they're doing is so important, and I'm so honored and blessed to be on the board of counselors, playing a very small role.
And there's some powerful people in addition to Steven Spielberg and yourself. There's a lot of notables on that work on that group, right?
Yes, there are. Yeah. I mean, it's because of Steven, we have a tremendous board, including my friend David Zaslav, who I mentioned, and many other leaders of industry and media and just wonderful people. And last year at the annual dinner, we honored George Lucas. So John Williams performed Schindler's List with the USC Orchestra. And so there are wonderful people in and around the organization. And we have the support of USC, which is so valuable, where the institute, the foundation is based now. And I just came from a board meeting there all day yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's the work of the foundation is more important than ever, as you know, because of rising levels of anti-Semitism and the neo-Nazis and all the rest worldwide, which is very sad.
It all starts with scapegoating of minorities, it seems, and then you know, people start acting out, and it's not a good
thing. That's right. And you know, you have to teach tolerance at an early age because if people, I've learned a lot in the few years that I've been working with them, but if you have to get to young people by the time they're 8 or 9, or else they're sometimes their family and parents' views get embedded. So we're trying to reach out to students around the world, young people from elementary school through college and others to teach tolerance. And through these videos and the video testimony of the survivors, it's a very powerful way to teach tolerance. And also to prevent the Holocaust deniers who are growing in numbers around the world from getting their message across. When Spielberg and Lucas did the dinner last year, they both talked about how the work of the Shoah Foundation is basically preserving the truth through these video testimony. No one can deny these testimonies.
And I've been to Mauthausen, and I recommend everybody out there to go. I've walked those 285 steps. They call it the Stairway of Death, where they made prisoners carry rocks basically from the quarry up these stairs, and of course, you know, a lot of them just perished. They're so thin and whatever. And your dad saw the rotting corpses, the stench. I'm sure it stayed with him his whole life.
It stayed with our whole family, Joe, because of the letter he wrote, which is in the book, which I really do recommend to all your listeners. Yeah. It's very moving and it's a cautionary.
So the best way to get your book, I guess, what, Amazon for the average listener?
Yeah, it's now, as of November, it's now available on Amazon and iBooks if you want to go get it on iBooks.
Sure.
But it'll be available pretty much everywhere, Barnes & Noble and all the other booksellers on November 1st, by the time this airs.
Yeah.
So it'll be everywhere. There's even going to be an audio version of the book from Audible, and that'll be available mid-November.
Who's narrating that, yourself? Or
no, it's a funny story. They wanted me to do it, and I thought about it, but then I read an article in the New York Times by a well-known author who did her own book, and basically said that she felt like she belonged in a state hospital at that point. It made her crazy.
Yeah.
And it was too difficult. A pro like you could do it in a heartbeat, but we hired a wonderful young man who my publisher recommended.
Good.
Sean Grace.
And you're so close.
Doing a great job.
Yeah, you're so close to it also. And plus, you've already written it. But there's some great photographs in here, great anecdotes. So you've worked with almost every major figure you can think of in the world, Oprah Winfrey and Muhammad Ali, you've met him, Jane Fonda, I mean, on and on and on. And
I've been so lucky.
You have been lucky, Andy.
To be lucky.
And you're also friendly. Andy Friendly, thank you so much for being our guest. And
Joe, thank you. Yeah. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I keep up the great work. And tell Richard nobody gave him the day off.
Okay.
I'm very mad at him.
You got it, sir. We'll
I'm
be in touch.
He's great.
We're looking forward to having you down here. So thank you very much.
Congrats on all your awards and thanks.
All right. My pleasure. Take care now. Bye-bye. Wow. How about that? See you next time. Bye-bye.